The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
This is Vince Russo's The Brand.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to 8 Days a Week, the show that goes out for free to everybody on the worldwide interweb, bro. This is a show where we bring you up to speed on what's going on russosbrand.com. We also talk a little bit about patreon.com/RussoTWC. And, bro, this show, Jeff, might be expanding because I am frantically trying to add several new shows on both formats by March 1st. And it's a lot of work, bro, because I've been in touch with a lot of people, a lot of conversations. You know, Jeff, my biggest concern, if you're a brand member, you know this, okay? My biggest concern is commitment. Now, there's no problem with my commitment. There's no problem with Jeff's commitment. You guys all know, like, this is what we do. We're never going to miss a show. But it's like when I'm adding people to the network, I can't assume they're going to have the same kind of commitment level that we do. And Jeff, you know, like that is the one thing that I am obsessed with is if you join the brand to do a show, bro, you got to do that show every single week because we expect nothing but the best. You know, the brand knows that we're dependable. So, Jeff, that's why I really haven't announced anything yet, even though I've been working on a lot. Commitment, Jeff, is very important to me, and you know that, bro.
Yeah, and if we get everything signed up and get everybody in the shows that you're looking for, it's a good new entertainment value coming to you guys with the price remaining the same right now. So, I think that's key. As long as we can keep that price the same, you know, we're going to do that. Of course, things change in the future with prices and stuff, but we're going to be adding new shows to both platforms, not changing the prices. And once, everything is signed and, you know, confirmed, we'll release it in black and white for you.
Yeah, and I have there are a few things I want to talk about today. You know, bro, I find that like I come on this show and I find that I always have to smarten you up on everything that's going on because I've come to an assumption. You're either working on the brand or you're playing video games. Like besides working on the brand, playing video games, eating and shitting, can you tell me something else you do?
Troy with 50 Bits. Of course, we're live on Twitch, twitch.tv/VinceRussoLive every Monday morning around 10 Eastern. I urinate quite a few times.
Okay, throughout the day. Right. What else? What else? If I ask you the question right now, because I got a list of 18 things I know I got to school and educate you on because you don't have a clue. So if I just throw this out there, Jeff, what would you like to talk about today? What would that be?
The Charlotte thing, I think, is stupid. I could talk about that.
What's the Charlotte thing?
That, you know, we're supposed to be presenting a product that's believable to fans. And they announced yesterday that she's challenging for the NXT title at WrestleMania after winning the Royal Rumble, which is just what normal person is going to look at that and say, this person won an event to choose to fight for any title she wants, and she's going to choose to fight for the minor league title.
Okay.
That's stupid to me.
All right. Go ahead. What else?
That's about it.
That's pretty much. Okay. Yeah. Bro, I got to tell you something. I'm feeling very good about myself. Like, first of all, especially with what's going on with the brand and talking to a lot of new people with these new shows. Bro, I swear to God, I feel myself being distanced more and more and more from wrestling and really being, you know, Vince Russo associated with wrestling because, bro, I swear to God, I have to tell you, I don't care. Like everything going on, like, bro, I could care less. Somebody sent me a shot yesterday of NXT with that Ciampa guy, bro, who I actually think I met and worked with in the UK, and he was a very nice guy. But somebody sent me a shot yesterday, bro. You know, this is the guy that had all the neck issues and everything. him taking some kind of a bump where the back of his neck hit the announce table.
I did see that. So
I'm watching this. I'm like, hey, bro, you know what? You want to break your neck? You want to be a paraplegic? You want to be in a wheelchair? Bro, knock yourself out. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to convince you of otherwise. I'm not even going to try. And like, just so many things, you know, like watching these shows, you know, bro, like, you know, even like with NXT, you talk about that thing with Charlotte. And she, it was that Rhea Ripley against the, who's the girl with the hair?
What's Bianca Belair.
Bianca Belair. And it's like, you know, bro, it would have been a nice little swerve if Bianca Belair would have went over, you know, because, you know, Ripley's been challenging, you know, like Charlotte. But of course that doesn't happen because the WWE, there's never any swerves. So and you know what? Like, I don't care. Like, bro, I don't care. What the rating is, I don't care. It doesn't affect me. But I swear to God, Jeff, here's the thing that I don't know why I keep doing this to myself. But guys, if you don't know, since Jeff doesn't bring anything to the table, the least he could do is psychoanalyze me. Okay.
I like doing that.
Yeah, I like you doing this too. Because you understand me better than other people. So I'm going to come in your office. You know, turn the video game off. I'm going to come in your office. Thank you. I'm going to lay on the couch. I want you to get into my head and tell me why I do this. Okay, bro? Kind of like the way I kind of diagnose Meltzer. And now all of a sudden everybody, Meltzer must be autistic. Really? You really, bro? I've been saying that for years and years and years. There's a reason why there's no sense to what he does and what he says, and there's no reason for it other than him being autistic. And if you're non-autistic, you can't relate to it. I've been saying that for years. So now I'm going to come in. I'm going to lay on the couch because I hate myself for doing this to myself every single time. All right.
Mark Dismemberment with 50 bits and Troy with 100 bits. Let's
see. Okay, listen to me. I don't enjoy wrestling. I stopped enjoying. I think it is fair to say, bro, I'm not kidding you. I think it's fair to say, bro, you can go back, okay? I'm going to give wrestling the benefit of the doubt. You can go back. Bro, I think you could say when Bischoff and Hogan were brought into TNA, okay? From that point forward, I lost all interest, any kind of love, anything I had for wrestling. From that day going forward. You know, bro, WCW sucked when I went there. There was some high spots when we were building TNA, and it was a family-like atmosphere at the beginning. But once those guys came aboard, Jeff, what are we looking at? 2007, 8, 9?
9, I think.
2009. Okay, bro. So when that happened, it became a job. So it is fair to say, bro, that the last 10 years, wrestling is a job. There is no love. There is no enjoyment. Nothing. So, you know, Jeff, I had a bad experience at Rocky Mountain Pro. You know, you were kind of a part of that, okay? Where, you know, again, bro, getting disrespected by 20-year-old punks that never did anything in their lives and still haven't done anything in their lives, that knew more than me. You know, you know the deal. So, you know, I left Rocky Mountain Pro and I'm like, I'm never going to get involved in this shit again, okay? So, bro, there's a guy in Utah, Salt Lake City, Manny Lemons. You know, he bites into lemons to get his power, much like Popeye with his spinach. Bro, Manny, I had worked with Manny at Rocky Mountain Pro for a year. For a year. Not begging me to come work with them, but saying, like, I really want you. I really want you here. And I kept saying, Manny, like, bro, I had a bad experience at Rocky Mountain Pro. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Bro, I did not want to do it. Okay? Everybody knows, bro, I don't like flying. I don't like going to airports. I don't like leaving my house. I don't like sleeping in hotel rooms. I don't like any of that shit. Okay? So, bro, Manny, I think it was December. Yeah. was having a big 1 year anniversary show, right? So I finally had a Skype with Manny, and I told him, Manny, I had a bad experience with Rocky Pro. Bro, I'm not going to work with young kids that know more than I do. Like, there's no fun in that for me. I don't want to do it, okay? Manny said, Vince, it's not like that here. I promise you, blah, 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 blah. At least give it a try, okay? So, Jeff, I went and I worked the Utah show, Devotional Championship Wrestling. I went and I worked it in December, okay?
Isn't it Devotion? I think it's Devotion.
Devotion?
Yeah.
Devotion Champ or Devotional? Devotional.
I'm pretty sure it's Devotion. But let's, Devotion Championship Wrestling.
Devotion yes. Championship.
Yes.
I went there, Jeff. Bro, no, and nobody kissed my ass or nothing like that. I don't want that. I'm not into that. I just want to be treated with respect. So, Jeff, I went there. Bro, they treated me with the utmost respect. And, bro, I'm telling you, like, Utah has something to do with that. It's a whole, bro, you know, guys, you know, bro, Utah, you know, Mormons, you know, Brigham Young University, you know the whole thing. The people there are just genuinely kind, bro, kind. So, bro, they treated me with the utmost respect. Manny put me up at, you know, a nice hotel. You know, it was everything Manny said it was going to be and more. Okay? So, bro, like, think about this for a second now. I'm on the psychoanalysis couch. Okay, Manny, it was everything Manny said it was going to be and more. Okay, bro, they treated me with respect. I worked with a lot of these young students. The crowd was phenomenal. Not these morons you see on TV. It was boyfriends and girlfriends, bro. It was families. No, this is awesome chant. The wrestlers like never left the ring, Jeff. It was, you know, it couldn't have been any better. Okay? It couldn't have been any better. I'm being honest with you now. So now, bro, January's rolling around. Now Manny wants to talk about, well, can we talk about, since it was everything I said it was going to be, can we talk about doing this permanently? Okay. Now, Jeff, you got to understand, Manny was right. Manny lived up to his word. These people were very nice to me. I met dozens and dozens of people. They're very nice to me. So now it's like, okay, bro, I don't enjoy this. I don't like traveling. I don't like being away from Penelope for a night. I don't like any of this. I don't like this. Okay. But it was like everything Manny said it was going to be. So like, how can I say no? Like, how do I say in January, no, Manny, you're I'm not going to come back. It was what he said it was going to be. And, bro, if you knew Manny Lemons, Jeff, this is the nicest guy on the face of the planet. I met him a couple times.
I didn't get to talk to him that much, but he was, bro, really nice when I met him.
The nicest guy. So I said, okay, Manny, I'll come back in January. Jeff, you got to understand, bro, 10 days out from going in January, I'm sick to my stomach thinking about it. I don't want to go. It's not fun for me. I don't like wrestling. The plane could go down. The whole thing, I'm 10 days out, I'm thinking
about. You could get the virus.
I could get the, oh, shit.
Yeah. Wash your hands.
In Utah?
You never know. On the plane.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, so, Jeff, I'm getting sick. I'm getting sick. I'm getting sick. I go in January. Again, bro, like, no complaints. No, you know, people treating me nice. No complaints. No complaints. So then, bro, I'm talking to Manny. I'm trying to help Manny get a local television deal. I'm trying to assist Manny. We're Skyping a lot. some of his students are, you know, reaching out to me, Skyping, email, what now? Now February comes along. Okay, bro. Now they got a local television deal. Now I've got to set up the television show. And like, bro, it's like, okay, now it's this weekend. And now I'm sick to my stomach thinking again about going and getting on a plane and doing this and doing that, because none of it is fun to me. It's work. But now, bro, they got a TV deal. I gotta lay out their TV deal. I gotta format their TV show. And I'm like, I don't like this. It's not a money thing. Thank God. Knock on wood. With the brand, I don't have to go because of the money. That's not even the issue. But it's like, bro, how am I in this balls deep again when I don't enjoy doing it? I don't like doing it. I a week out, I'm sick about having to go and do it. How do I get balls deep into this thing again?
Troy with 100 bits. Now, do you have fun while you're doing it in the middle of it that day?
No.
There's not one thing you enjoy about it.
No. Bro, from the minute I get there, I'm counting down the hours till when I go home. That's a shoot.
Yeah, but you probably do that anywhere you go. Because you just don't like being out. I think maybe there's part of you that wants to give back to the people that actually want to listen. You know, you talk about Manny being a good person, Manny being, you know, running the promotion the right way with good people, wants your advice, wants your help, wants to do things the right way. I think you like to help people like that. I don't know the particular reasons why. It's probably just part of your makeup, or it's maybe you giving back to the people that want to listen. Especially after dealing with people in TNA and Rocky Mountain Pro that didn't want to listen. Here are young people that want to listen, that want to be respectful, that want to do things the right way. You have the experience, the knowledge to actually help these people do wrestling, you know, the right way. I don't know. Maybe there's part of you that just wants to give back to the people that deserve it.
Yeah, but the counting down the days, Jeff, you have no idea. Like, Friday night's the worst.
I do like, that when we got to watch pay-per-views.
Oh my God. And like, you know, see, I don't know. Listen, I here's what it comes down to. I really think, you know, Manny's such a great guy. Now he's got a television deal, bro. Now he's kind of into this thing. Now there's this shit on the line. You know what I'm saying? I genuinely want to help Manny, but I keep finding myself, bro, doing these things to help other people like that. I really don't want to be doing it. Bro, here's another case in point. I'm going to cut a promo here.
All right. Well, before you do that, I think you kind of just answered your own question. I mean, you talk about a lot of stuff on That's Life about, you know, helping people and things like that.
That's, I know. And here's another thing, bro. Freaking Kenny Bolin. Okay, bro, Kenny Bolin, you know, has been, I want to use a nice word, hounding. Kenny Bolin has been hounding me to do a baseball podcast forever with him. Okay, now, Jeff, you got to understand, I just told you, I just laid out to everybody how this Utah thing is taking on a life of its own. And I have all this more work I got to do with the Utah thing. Okay, bro, we're adding more podcasts to the network. So I got to deal with those people. I'm going to be doing new shows. I'm going to be producing new shows. Jeff and I podcast every day. We do shows in the morning. We do shows at night. In between, I'm watching all this shit. I'm trying to stay on Twitch. I'm trying to do all this shit. So, bro, like, I have to look at, okay, Vince, like, your time is very limited, okay? When you do something, bro, you've got to make sure it's a money earner. It's got to make you money. You can't be doing anything anymore just for the sake of doing it, right? So, a baseball podcast. Jeff, you know, bro, it's not going to be a big draw. Not everybody is a baseball fan. Do I love baseball? Yes. Could I talk about baseball all day? Yes. Is doing a baseball podcast going to earn money? No, it's not going to. I'm not going to get out of it the money I put into it. Okay, bro, everything's got to be smart and dollars and cents and business. All right? So like Kenny constantly, oh, you can fit me in, you can fit me in, you can fit me in. And then, bro, he hits me with, well, bro, you know I no longer talk to Jim Cornette because of you. So I'm like, bro, do you really want to guilt me into doing a show that just makes absolutely no sense? So, bro, I'm kind of right back where I am with Manny. Okay, now I feel bad because Kenny Bolin, he doesn't talk to Jim Cornette anymore, who was a lifelong fan. He wants to do a baseball podcast with me. Kenny Bolin doesn't have too much, so doing a podcast with me would be a big deal for him. But it's like, bro, I can't keep doing this. When I left TNA, bro, I made a vow to myself. I am no longer going to do anything that doesn't make me happy. If I'm not happy doing it, I'm not doing it. That's the vow I made to myself. I'm not doing it. Why am I getting into doing all these things I'm not happy doing again?
Is that why you call me all the time? Because it makes you happy?
See, that's a psychiatrist wouldn't say that. That's not what a psychiatrist would say, bro.
Well, the baseball podcast, that's easy. You don't even have the time to do the stuff that we do for this, for the brand. You're adding more stuff. We talk all the time privately about how you work every day. You got stuff to do every single day. There's not one day where you can just kind of chill and do nothing. So if you're going to add a show like that, now you got to squeeze that in to what little free time you already have. And it's not doing anything for you. So it would be you just doing something nice for
100%,
him.
100%. That's what it would be, bro.
Yeah.
And 100%, I think that's why I'm doing it for Manny.
Yeah, but you get something out of that at least. You know, it's... I don't know. You saw you did a baseball podcast years ago when we started, you know, the YouTube and stuff, and it just didn't draw. There's not a crossover there. There's not a crossover with wrestling and baseball. So if people want to listen to a baseball podcast, they're not going to come to you to listen to baseball. They're going to listen to baseball people.
And Jeff, not only that, bro, I've kind of expanded my, Rolodex. Whereas I kind of have a little bit of a relationship with some baseball players, okay? Jeff, if I wanted to do a baseball podcast, I could probably pay one of them and do a podcast with a baseball player. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do that. I don't have the time to do that. But, and bro, this is a lesson for people out there too, bro. Honestly. Bro, don't do that to people. Like, bro, don't guilt people into doing things they really don't want to do. And like, if somebody's doing something for you, bro, because they're being a nice guy and it benefits you and it's not benefiting them, don't do that to people. Like, serious, bro. That's terrible. Don't do that to people. Because I feel like that gets done to me a lot, man. A lot.
I would just be honest. Look, this is how many shows I do a week. If I have to do another show, it's taking out of the little free time I already have, and we're not going to get anything out of it. So we would just kind of be doing it just to do it. And right. What's the point of doing that? Right. Probably the 100 bits.
Right, right. All right. Well, you didn't help at all.
How did I not? I thought that was pretty good advice.
Well, I want to throw out a couple of things real quick, and then we'll get into the show because I got to smarten you up on things. Because besides shitting, pissing, eating, video games and podcasting, like that's it. So how I find time to expand my horizons, I don't know.
I may know these things. Why don't you talk about it first and see if I know.
Tell me about the format of the NBA All-Star game.
I didn't watch it.
Okay. I didn't watch it. They did something really cool.
Well, I heard about the rule they're proposing for the baseball playoffs.
Don't go on and off the subject because you're clueless about basketball. Let me smarten you up about the baseball thing. Let me smarten you up about what? Why is the baseball thing ridiculous, bro? Because other teams that don't have the Yankees payroll can actually get in the playoffs, bro, and maybe win a World Series. That's ridiculous, bro. For any team that has a payroll,
well, then we're not talking about the same
$500 million, and they're going to make the playoffs regardless.
We're not talking about the same thing.
What are you
this talking
help,
about? This would help the Yankees, but what I still think it's stupid.
What are you talking about?
Where the higher seed picks who they want to play in the next round.
What's wrong with that?
That's weird.
Okay. Let me get back. You avoid the basketball thing because you don't know what's going on.
No, go ahead. You're going to have to tell me about that. I didn't watch it.
Okay. They did something really cool, man. Really cool and really different. Jeff, you know how, like, basically when it comes to All-Star games, the players in the game don't care. Because they don't want to get hurt.
Especially the NFL, yes.
Yeah, they don't want to get hurt. Every sport, bro. Every sport, bro. But, you know, that's why there's such high-scoring games in basketball.
I would say baseball, they play pretty good.
Yeah, baseball's the one where they play the most competitive, okay? So what they did this year was, bro, I'll tell you what they did. It was pretty freaking cool, and they achieved exactly what they wanted to achieve. The first three quarters of the game, bro, it was Team LeBron against Team I can't even pronounce that dude's name. I'm not even going to try. And the quarters were like separate games. Okay, so bro, the first three quarters, each team is playing for a charity. Okay, bro. So the first quarter, the first 12 minutes of the game, if you win that quarter. That team wins X amount of dollars, and it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars for a certain charity. Okay, so over the first three quarters, there was like 300 grand to win. Okay, so then, Jeff, we get to the fourth quarter. Okay, Jeff, we turn off the game clock. Okay. What they did was they took the score of the team that was ahead, okay, and they added 24 points to it. You know the significance of 24 points?
Kobe.
So they added 24 points. So in other words, the team in the lead had to reach 157 points first. And then the game would be over. Okay? No, the clock's not running. There's no clock.
The 157? Why? That's a weird number.
Because it's the total where they were after three quarters plus 24 points.
Oh, I thought you said they gave them 24 points.
No, plus 24. They had this score. Plus 24 equals 157.
Okay.
So, bro, LeBron's team. Now, keep this in mind, bro. This is an All-Star game. Bro, LeBron's team goes into the fourth quarter down 9 points. So now they got to get to 157 before the other team gets to 157. The other team has a 9-point advantage. LeBron's team pulled it out. Bro, players were diving all over the floor, taking offensive fouls. It was ridiculous. Bro, they were playing this like it was the seventh game of the championship. It was amazing. And LeBron's team wound up winning 157 to 156.
That's pretty cool.
Unbelievable, bro. And one charity that they were playing with walked away with like $400,000.
I mean, that's a cool way to make the game competitive.
Yeah, I thought that was very, very cool. Let me also tell you something. I've been smartened up because I pay attention to these things. Cody Bellinger, bro, this season in baseball is going to be one like we've never seen before. I mean, I'm telling you, bro. Maybe I need to do a baseball show. Bro, Cody Bellinger basically went out there and said, you know, the Astros cheated us out of a World Series. And then he basically said Jose Altuve cheated Aaron Judge out of an MVP.
Yeah.
Okay. So, bro, Carlos Correa calls Ken Rosenthal. And basically, like, bro, Rosenthal is going from camp to camp to camp to camp to camp. He already went to Astro Camp. Correa calls Rosenthal and says, you need to come back to our camp. I have something I want to say.
See, I do know about this.
Okay. Did you watch the MLB Network today?
Not today, no. But didn't he say if you weren't there, you need to shut the F up?
Yeah, but it went much deeper than that. It went much deeper than that. Carlos Correa, and I got to tell you guys, I believe him 100%. And watching so much footage of this and the Major League Baseball players break this down and everything else. First of all, bro, Carlos Correa said that freaking Altuve was one of the guys that was like, I don't want to know the freaking signs. Don't hit freaking trash cans. Bro, they did it to him once or twice. He went in the dugout and he cut promos on people. Keep in mind, bro, Altuve hit 380 on the road. Okay, he hit 380 on the road that year. Altuve was one of the people that, like, I don't want this. You could do whatever the frig you want. When I'm up there, I don't want this shit. Okay? Then they got into the buzzer gimmick, bro. And Correa explained, and bro, when you see the footage now, it is clear as day when you hear them interview Altuve. But anyway, he's talking about the buzzer gimmick. And Correa is saying, when you go back and look at the footage, I am the first one at home plate waiting for Altuve. Prior to that incident, Altuve hit a walk-off home run. Okay, bro? Correa ripped off Altuve's shirt, and he was shirtless on the field. Correa said that Altuve's wife actually called Carlos Correa's wife and was pissed off. Why did Carlos do that? She didn't freaking like it. So when you watch Altuve come to the plate, bro, first of all, if he's hiding a buzzer, he's not going to blatantly be holding his shirt saying, don't rip off my shirt, don't rip off my shirt, don't rip off my shirt. He's not going to blatantly be doing that. But when
to his shirt getting ripped off, that's a better alternative.
Let me finish. So now Altuve's coming. Who's the first one there? Correa. The first one there, and Altuve's telling him, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Also, Correa said that Altuve on his collarbone was in the process of getting a tattoo that wasn't done, and it looked awful, and it looked funky as hell, right? Then, bro, we go back to the interview that took place right after he hit the home run. And Rosenthal asked him about that. Why did you tell them not to rip off your shirt? This wasn't on issue at that point. And Altuve said the same exact thing. Oh, that was something about my wife. They did it once to me and it pissed her off. Bro, the myth about him running straight into the dugout. The guy was on the field 2 minutes and 15 seconds celebrating the championship before he went in the dugout and put on his championship shirt. So that is turned into, oh, bro, he ran right from home plate into the dugout. No, he didn't, bro. He was on the field for 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Bro, if there's a buzzer underneath your jersey, you're not on the field for 2 minutes and 15 seconds. You are beelining it towards that freaking dugout. This reminds me of so much shit that happens with me. So, you know, all that shit is out there. And yeah, bro, there's Corey Bellinger that does not have the facts and is going on what they're talking about Twitter, what they're saying here and what they're saying here. You know what, bro? Cody, if you have a problem, then why didn't you call the guy individually?
Well, he does have the facts that it did occur when they played them in the World Series. He's not wrong about that. He has a right to be pissed.
No, bro, because when you talk to Correa also says, Bro, when you get to the playoffs and that level of baseball, bro, the signs change because the other team, they don't playing all season long. They don't, nobody uses the same signals that you use all season long. Everybody changes the signals, bro. Then they go to Harold Reynolds and Harold Reynolds breaks down the Chapman inning. Bro, Chapman threw six straight balls. Altuve was the second batter. The first guy was Springer. He walked him on four balls. Wild. He goes 2-0 on Altuve. So now he's 2-0 on Altuve. So, Harold Reynolds is breaking this down. He goes, bro, Chapman had zero control, couldn't get the ball over the plate, couldn't get his fastball over. Altuve's sitting, bro, on that freaking slider. Freaking Harold Reynolds said, bro, a single A player could have hit that pitch out of the park. So when you, of course, bro, everybody wants to jump to the conclusions of what looks like a great story. But when you really break it down and really look at it, bro, the Dodgers lost two home games in the freaking World Series. They left 80,000 guys on freaking base. So now, bro, you're going to blame it on, oh, you, well, they cheated? Come on now, bro. My point is there's two sides to every story. And let me tell you why none of the players got suspended. You know why, Jeff?
Yeah, they got immunity.
But there was more to it than that. There's three big reasons. Number one was immunity. And the commissioner knew this was going on a bigger scale. He needed to get to the bottom of it. The commissioner said, bro, if I didn't have to grant immunity, you think I would have? Because of course I wouldn't have. I didn't want to grant immunity. That was the only way I was going to get my information. Number two, bro, the players' union. If players would have got suspended, there would have been grievances filed by every player. You know why, bro? Because their case is the manager did nothing. The general manager did nothing. We're employees. We're doing what management is telling us to do. So like Rosendahl said, the Major League Baseball would have lost every single case because of that. And number three, bro, a very valid point. Bro, some of those plays have been traded to other teams. So like in the case of Marwin Gonzalez, he plays for the Twins now. So what are you going to do, bro? You're going to suspend a player on the Twins for what he did when he was playing for the Astros?
Yeah, they've done that before. If a guy gets suspended for something on the last day of the season, like hitting somebody, and then he's traded or something the next team, he has to sit out the suspension on the other team.
I don't know that. I don't remember that ever happening. And if it did, it was for a couple of games, not a lengthy suspension. So when you look at those three things, see, that's the thing, bro. When you look at this shit, okay, I got it now and I understand.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
No, I got nothing to say. We just talked about how there's no crossover with baseball, so we've already lost half our audience.
I might do a show now on baseball with Kenny Bolin. I could talk about this with Kenny Bolin. All right, bro, what happened with the soon-to-be growing brand? What happened this week, bro?
Well, we opened the week with castrating the marks, and in this clip, we're looking at a Dave Meltzer tweet where he's comparing today's psychology to the psychology of the past. Somebody tweets to Dave, "You can always tell people who don't actually watch when they say Okada is a spot monkey." Dave replies, "It's tiring when psychology equals whatever they were doing and no psychology equals whatever they are doing, even when what they are doing now has more psychology, particularly guys like Okada and Tanahashi, who are Brett level and beyond."
Bro, I just watched AEW an hour ago. Watch the eight-man tag, bro. If it was the It was the Bucks, Omega, and Hangman Page against the Lucha Brothers and, I don't know, I want to say Butcher and Blade. I don't even know. I don't even remember. Tell me their psychology in that match, bro.
And there's not really anything we can add to that, but I picked that clip because we're going to have another clip when we get to Disco later on in the show with Disco talking about psychology. I just want to show you the difference between the experts and the people that were there. So that will be interesting.
Bro, listen. And this is why I say I don't care. It doesn't affect me anymore. They could do whatever they want. I could care less. Psychology is no longer a part of today's wrestling. It's just no longer a part of it, bro. Psychology is no longer a part of it. None. It does not exist. Jeff, I got to get back to baseball for a second. I played baseball my entire life, up till the age of 18. Okay? Jeff, I was just playing for the fun of it. Okay? Like, just to play. Jeff, when I became 30 years old, okay, I wanted to prove to myself I could play in a 30 and over league. Okay? So, Jeff, I played in a 30 and over league. Jeff, I was playing in a league with a lot of guys that played in, like, college ball. Like, these were serious baseball players. Okay? Bro, it wasn't until I was 30 and I was playing with those kind of players that, oh, my God, the psychology of a baseball game was something I never knew. Like, up until 18, I had no idea. Now, bro, I'm playing with college kids and coaches and shit like that. And the psychology, it brought the game to a whole new level. Okay? That's what I'm saying. That has not changed in any other sport. Okay, bro? The psychology of the game has not changed. Wrestling, bro, is really the only athletic. When I say athletic, bro, I'm talking about not legit sports. I'm talking about there are athletes doing athletic things. That is the only sport, bro, where the psychology has changed. And that's it, bro. You can bellyache. You could say, I hate it. You could say this doesn't make any sense. You could say this guy's not selling, that guy's not selling. You could say whatever you want to say. Psychology has been taken out of professional wrestling. And you're going to have people like me and a lot of people that, okay, bro, we are no longer interested in it if this is what it is. But it's not a part of wrestling anymore, bro. It's just not. It's been taken away. I don't know what's going to bring it back. Lower ratings obviously ain't bringing it back, bro. I mean, that's not bringing it back. So, like, I don't know what brings it back. I don't know. So maybe it never comes back.
And on the Raw and SmackDown review with Stevie Richards and Bin Hameen, you guys are talking about Fox. And does WWE even realize how many millions of people they could actually get being on this platform?
I just wonder, Stevie, like, because, you know, we know the importance here because we're kind of like media guys. I wonder if, like, does it ever dawn on anybody in that company, holy shit, we've got a live show on Friday night on the Fox network, and we have the potential to draw as many millions of fans as we can. Does that even dawn on anybody? Or is it like just let's get a show? Are they just happy to get a show on paper?
Well, I mean, it seems like Fox is happy because they put it out there in the public that they don't need to try any harder when they said they don't mind the ratings and where they're at. And there's some kind of long game, like for WrestleMania to be live on Fox. And I mean, that has to draw a rating, doesn't it? So if the people aren't even interested in not watching and not even hearing about WrestleMania week in and week out, what makes you think they're going to tune into Fox for WrestleMania?
Do you think that's the long game, or that's just now after we told them they were buying a bad bill of goods and they're like, well, we're keeping a positive attitude and we hope we can fix all these things. Meanwhile, we get dog food, bath and shit week 19, that now the talk of WrestleMania is just a promise of to keep them happy because they really do care about ratings at a 2.5. They didn't think they would ever be below a 3.5. And now it's like, oh, well, what do you guys think about having, we've been talking about it, having WrestleMania on Fox this year as just another carrot and stick to keep leading them and bleeding them and bleeding them.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, the Super Bowl. Almost 100 million people watched it, and the Super Bowl was on Fox. There had to be somebody after looking at that and then seeing the ratings for SmackDown or seeing the ratings for SmackDown and then the Super Bowl and going, oh my God, did we put our money into the wrong like sports entertainment business?
And look at the markets too. I mean, Kansas City and San Francisco. I mean, those are big money markets. Can you imagine? You got the Patriots in there. You got the New York team in. I mean, Kansas City, San Francisco. And I mean, I know it's the Super Bowl and everybody watches it, but still, you know, those people are out there.
And you guys talk about a few different things in that clip. You know, is Fox trying to get WrestleMania after seeing how many people watch the Super Bowl? You know, they're putting a lot of things to this. I guess Sheamus was just at the NASCAR thing. They sent Sheamus there. Sasha Banks was in something during the Super Bowl pregame show. Fox is doing a lot, putting the WWE guys out there. They're pissing off a lot of their sports fans by having, you know, the WWE be tweeted by their sports accounts. But, you know, the main point is the reach that they now have that they didn't have, and the numbers are pretty similar to USA. They're a little bit higher. Why are they just satisfied with that? And do they not even get it that, oh my God, we could get 10 million people if we had a good product?
You're talking about the WWE now or not Fox?
Well, both. Like, why is Fox, you know, do you think Fox is happy with it?
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely not, bro.
And why doesn't the WWE even care?
Because there's no ramifications. They're not working on a sliding scale. Bro, my contract with WCW was dependent on ratings. Vince, if you go this point over this, you're going to make X percent. If you go this point, you're going to make X percent. If you go this point, you're going to make X percent. They don't have that in the TV deal. Whether there's 10 million people watching or 2 million, they're making the same money. So think about that, Jeff. Why are you trying? There is no incentive to make more money. So why would you try? Now, bro, here's the part that pisses me off, because I would try because I have pride. Because I have pride, bro. Whether I'm making more money or not, I want as many people to watch this show as possible. But there's no incentive for them, bro. So they're on cruise control. Whose fault is that? That's Fox's fault. Bro, if you're going to pay somebody an ungodly amount of money, no matter what the number is, then that's what you got, man.
And on the Triple Threat podcast with the franchise Shane Douglas, they are talking about that wrestler at the indie event in a mall that jumped off the second story.
God, bro.
Into the ring.
And mm-hmm. You know, how would you feel if you're one of the guys that's supposed to catch him, and for whatever reason, because again, it's an imperfect science. You're going to try like hell to do it right, but if you miss, and that kid, you know, imagine how those guys would feel that if Hawks had hit and they didn't catch him and he broke his back or his hip or his neck, or worse. You know, then my God, there's just, you know, in my head, I'm just running through. It's like, you know, jets firing off in my head because I'm thinking of all the potential things that could have very easily gone wrong. And, you know, any of those things by themselves go wrong, and there's a huge chance that somebody's going to get hurt. And, you know, then you add in multiples of things that could go wrong. You know, how about they all get hurt? You know, which is as likely as anything else, you know, so I don't know. It just seems to be way, way over the top crazy that I can only imagine what Luke, I wonder how many rolls of toilet paper he needed afterwards to clean his tights out, because I'm sure as a father standing there watching that, you know, of course you have every faith in your son in that, but my God, I let's put it this way. I would never want to see either of my sons put themselves in that kind of danger for anything.
Now, I know you saw that, Vince. So what's your
thoughts? I don't, who cares? You're a moron. Bro, do you know how many times I've been on the top floor of a mall? Everybody's done this. Everybody's been on the top floor of the mall, and you've looked over the barricade, and you've thought about, oh, my God, it would hurt if I fell from this. If somebody came and pushed me over this thing, it would hurt. Everybody's done that. That's gone through the mind of everybody. Now these morons are jumping from the top floor of a mall. Bro, good for you. Tremendous. That, absolutely tremendous. Bro, here's the sad part, bro. I watched the clip. Here's the sad part. I don't even know your name, bro. Like, I don't know who you are. I don't know your name. I don't know where that took place. I know nothing more about you than I did before you decided to do that. So bravo. Bravo. Very nice.
And on Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco, here is Disco talking about wrestling psychology and the stuff that the experts such as Meltzer think is psychology actually isn't.
A guy will do a callback from a move like 6 months before, and they do the move, and the guy like will counter it and stuff. And like he thinks that's like next level genius storytelling and psychology. And I'm like, that's funny that, you know, when the person's talking about this, because like, in that context of him being like, you know, looking at granular detail and stuff, bro, details like that are not like, that's not psychology. That's just like, if you're working a guy and you've worked him before, and this is because like, this is how these people, like these marks, don't understand this. They see the match. They don't know the process that goes over, that goes on where the two guys beforehand are sitting down talking, laying the match out. Okay. And bro, and it's not genius. It's not. It happens literally all the time. We did a spot before, tackle, drop down, hip toss. I'll drop the elbow on you. Okay. So then, tackle, drop down, hip toss. I'll go for the elbow. Move. Then arm drag me. That's anybody that's wrestled before, like when you're laying a match, you know things. You do. This isn't. It's not genius. It's not next level, like reversing a move from 6 months before. It's just when you're laying out the match, it's like, you know how you do moves. And there's different variations of the spots that you do. Like you go for and you counter this time. Or so, you know, this, that's like what people don't understand is like, these people are talking about psychology and they actually think that's psychology. Like that's got nothing to do with it. You know, that's just basic spots of psychology. It's like telling a story and stuff. And psychology, the best psychology.
You know, and you got the new line, Vince, where the pros are pros with the brand. And this right here is perfect example. We have somebody in the first clip we showed tweeting about wrestling psychology that's never wrestled a match. And there are people that take this guy as an expert and they believe what he says and that he knows what he's talking about. Here's a guy that actually wrestled in one of the most successful times in the history of the business, telling you what psychology actually is and isn't. I mean, why do people listen to the first guy when the second guy, you know, there's hundreds of them out there that will tell you the first guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Bro, because they want to believe a certain way. It's that simple, bro. They want to believe a certain way. They're in their own little world. They're in their own little bubble. They want to believe a certain way. Bro, believe whatever you want to believe. That's the way Disco broke that down and the way Disco explained that. That freaking alone, that clip alone, bro, is worth being a brand member. When you have somebody like lay something out that's so simple, in contrast to these dirt sheet writers that like literally have no clue to what the freak they're talking about. That's why it's important to have guys like Disco on the brand, bro.
And you can get all these shows on the brand, guys, in video and audio, plus much more. Goldilocks, Big Vito, the new shows that we're going to be announcing very shortly. Guys, it is less than $1 a week. It's only $3.95 a month. You can opt out at any time. There's zero long-term commitment. You get the shows in video. You got up to a month. If you would like to keep them, you can download them. You can stream them off the Realm site. If you prefer listening to the audio on the go, Realm Network gives you your own private RSS feed that you can put right into your favorite podcast app and get your whole feed of Realm shows. But again, guys, there's zero long-term commitment. For less than $1 a week, you can try it out for the month. and get all these shows in their entirety.
And guys, there's a whole menu of other shows on Russo's brand. No, not Russo's brand, on patreon.com/ Russo TWC. A whole slew of shows, bro. 75 cents a week gets you three shows. And the list is growing, bro. Keep your eyes on the brand. We are going to be adding new shows by March 1st that are going to be parts of each package. So you want to check that out. Jeff, tell them about your Twitch.
You can check me out on Twitch, guys, because when I'm not doing brand work, pooping, peeing, or eating, I'll be on Twitch playing video games late at night. You can come hang out, twitch.tv/JeffLane22.
And guys, I'm on Twitch quite a lot too. You can check me out, twitch.tv/VinceRussoLive. That is it, everybody, for 8 days a week. Sample us, bro. It's the old try it. You'll like us. You won't be disappointed. We will see you tomorrow, Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco on russosbrand.com. Take care, everybody.